My dear friends, a heated debate has been going on in Israel, in the state of Israel, on what is a Jew and who is a Jew. A cabinet crisis has developed within the government over this question. Ministers have resigned, and this issue has spilled over the borders of Israel into the lands of the diaspora. At first glance, it appears to be a sort of an academic question, and one which is asked rather late in the day, after thousands of years. It's rather late to ask the question, who is a Jew? One wonders why it is asked now and why such vehemence is connected with it. Actually, in Israel, it is a very practical question, the answer to which has been made urgent since the establishment of the state 10 years ago. In Israel, it is a legal question. With the establishment of the state 10 years ago, a law was enacted called the Law of Return. A law which permits every Jew from any part of the world to enter Israel and automatically to become a citizen of the state of Israel. A non-Jew may ask for permission to come into Israel, as he would have to in any other country in the world. And after a period of time, say 2 years, you would have to apply for naturalization, the same as you do in any other country, but not so a Jew coming from the diaspora. He is admitted without question, and he automatically becomes a citizen if he desires to remain there. In this declaration, the Law of Return, the term Jew is not defined. And as you know, hundreds of thousands have come to Israel in the last 10 years from all parts of the world. The vast majority, of course, unquestionably Jews. On the other hand, there have been half-Jews and quarter-Jews who have come, children of mixed marriages who were not raised as Jews. Non-Jewish women who had married Jews in the diaspora, but who had never been converted. Now, the Law of Return did not exclude any of them. But soon some problems began to develop. For example, there was the case of a monk in a Catholic monastery in Jerusalem who acquired Israeli citizenship under legislation which grants automatic citizenship to all Jewish immigrants. This monk was an apostate. He had been a Jew. And by default, he got away with his claim that in converting to Catholicism, he had switched only his religious affiliation, but had not relinquished his Jewish nationality. He had belonged to the monastery before the establishment of Israel in 1948, but was on the Arab side during the fierce Arab-Jewish battle for Jerusalem. When he wanted to return to the Israeli sector after the armistice, he applied for an entry permit under the Law of the Return, which recognizes the right of every Jew to return to the homeland. I am a Jew by nationality, he claimed. The Minister of the Interior at the time regarded this attempt of an apostate to use a Jewish passkey to get into Israel as rather an impertinent matter. But the monk manifested traditional Jewish stiff-neckedness in pressing his claim. He threatened to bring suit in the Israeli High Court, and his doggedness paid off. The ministry had to climb down, the Ministry of the Interior, and grudgingly issued him his visa. Now, there were quite a number of such cases, not of monks, of course, but of similar cases, which brought the question of the law of return into a focus whereby a clearer definition had to be given as to who is a Jew. But there were more serious problems which soon appeared. As you know, the rabbinic courts in Israel retain all authority in matters of marriage and divorce, and in all matters of personal status. This authority was vested in them by the British Mandatory Government before the State of Israel was established, and the State of Israel has accepted this status. These rabbinic courts follow, of course, rabbinic law and tradition in rendering their decisions. Now, rabbinic law does not recognize everyone as a Jew who simply declares himself to be a Jew. A Jew, according to rabbinic law, is a person born of a Jewish mother, irrespective of the father's religion. Or, of course, one who is born not a Jew was formally converted to Judaism, according to the prescribed ceremony of conversion. And then, of course, the status is exactly like that of a born Jew. Thus, for purposes of marriage and divorce, and all other situations involving personal status, the rabbinic courts, which have exclusive control over these matters, will not recognize as Jews all whom the law of return has accepted as Jews. And this situation came to a critical head during this year, when the Ministry of the Interior, now under the leadership of one who is not a deeply religious Jew, when the Ministry of the Interior asked all citizens of the State of Israel to fill out cards of identity and to indicate what religion they belong to, Jewish or Christian or Muslim. This was done largely for matters of security. This was a routine administrative questionnaire that was sent out. But it raised up a storm. For this ministry stated that for the purposes of this registration, it was sufficient for a man to declare in good faith that he is a Jew, and in the case of adults, that he does not belong to another religion. And that was accepted. And this latter condition, namely that he does not belong to another religion, was only subsequently added by the cabinet. Originally, even that condition was not contained in the instructions for this registration. And in the case of children, if both parents concurred that the child is Jewish, he should be so registered. Now, this is clearly contrary to rabbinic law. A child of a mixed marriage whose mother is not Jewish must undergo the rite of proselytization before he can be called a Jew. Now, because of the wide-scale protest which developed in Israel over this matter, and because of the danger of a tragic rift in the Jewish community, the card of identity has been temporarily suspended, and the government is now consulting with religious leaders, both in Israel and in the diaspora, as to how to handle this difficult problem, and how to define, for the legal purposes of the state, what is a Jew. I received the inquiry from the government of Israel a few days ago. It should be borne in mind in this connection that the question asked concerns the religion of the citizen. It is not a question involving citizenship as such. A citizen of Israel is an Israeli, and he's not necessarily a Jew. He may be a Christian, he may be a Muslim, and he enjoys full and equal rights of citizenship in the state of Israel. There are close to 150,000 Muslims living as citizens in the state of Israel, and some 45,000 Christians living as citizens in the state of Israel. Except for the fact that the government has turned over to rabbinic courts all matters of personal status, as it turned over to Christian courts and Muslim courts in Israel all such questions applying to Muslims and Christians. Except for this fact, which is not the case, say, here in the United States. Except for the fact that a man cannot be married or be divorced in a civil court in Israel. And for this law of return to which I referred, which, by the way, applies only to Jews coming from the diaspora, the definition of who is a Jew would really not be within the province of the state. It is for the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people throughout the world to decide this question. It is a religious question. The government of Israel can define only who is an Israeli, just as the government of the United States can decide who is an American, not who is a Christian or who is a Jew. This belongs to the leaders of the respective religious communities. Now, I believe that sooner or later, the Parliament of Israel, the Knesset, may have to interpret the law of return a little more closely because of these problems which have arisen. Though it is doubtful in my mind whether it will be able ever or willing ever to give a full and concise definition of the term Jew. If it gives any definition at all, it, in my judgment, will be a very liberal and common sense view, not at all the rigid, traditional rabbinic view upon which the religious authorities in Israel insist. And as far as leaving all matters of personal status to rabbinic courts, which has given rise to these many serious problems, I for one see no other solution for it than permitting civil courts to act in matters of marriage and divorce, just as they do in the United States, for all such as do not wish to resort to rabbinic courts. This, I believe, will come in time, but only after a long and bitter controversy. A modern state cannot leave these basic questions of marriage and divorce to an ecclesiastical body. But in Israel, it is an urgent legal question which they are trying to solve. But for the Jewish people throughout the world, who is a Jew cannot be defined by the law of the land. In fact, it requires no definition. It is not a legal question at all. A Jew is one who accepts the Jewish religion, who feels himself a Jew, who throws in his lot with the Jewish people, who wants to be identified with the Jewish community, and who wants his children to remain within the Jewish community. It is a voluntary acceptance of historic commitments. He who separates himself from the Jewish community by adopting another religion ceases to be a Jew. Now the Maccabees faced not a similar problem in their day, but a sort of a related problem. Their problem was not who is a Jew, but who is a true Jew, who is a loyal Jew. Because there were many Jews in their days, born Jews, racially Jews, against whom these Maccabees had to wage war, because they were assimilated Jews. They were Hellenized Jews. They were Jews who, though they had not adopted formally any other religion, were in every way imitating the ways of the pagans, accepting their standards, their inferior moral codes, fascinated by the surface glitter of the Hellenistic civilization. Jews who turned their back upon the Jewish code of high and stern morality, of clean living, of compassion for the weak and the needy, of reverence for all life, and all the exacting ethical teachings of the Torah. These Jews, nominally Jews, were destroying Judaism. And the Maccabees, zealous for the law, rose and waged war not only upon the Syrian Greeks who ruled the country, but upon the Jews within Palestine who cooperated with these rulers. Jews who were prepared to abandon the holiest mandates of their faith at the behest of the ruling powers or to curry favor from them. I read you the story of the struggle of the Maccabees this morning from the book of the Maccabees. The Maccabees were not satisfied just with Jews. There were other peoples in the world, and so there are Jews in the world. The Maccabees felt that they possessed a mandate from the God of history to preserve some great spiritual truths for mankind, that they and their fathers before them had entered into an enduring covenant to be a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy people. They were unique in the heathen polytheistic idolatrous world with its low standards of morals and ethics. They were reaching out for Jews who were prepared, as we read in the text this morning, die for their faith rather than to forsake it. That was their criterion, their test of who is a Jew. They were reaching out for strong men who dared to stand alone, to face great odds, who were not afraid to be few, just so they were on the side of God. Who were not afraid to be a small company, as we read in the text, fighting against a great multitude. That's a spiritual definition of the term Jew. Good Jews, my dear friends, are never warned, are never concerned, and are never worried about definitions. They ask themselves not who is a Jew, but what could I do to be a true Jew and a loyal Jew? What could I do to be a better Jew, to be more loyal to my heritage? What can I do to bring better service to my community and better Jewish education to my children? How could I make my life conform more closely to the ideals of the Torah? How could I help spread the light of brotherhood and justice and peace in the world, which my prophets and the seers of my people first gave to mankind? How could I kindle more lights in the world, which is the sanctuary of God, and where so many lights have been extinguished? That's the problem which the Maccabees set for themselves, and that's the answer they gave. And that's the problem which the Jewish people and entire world, inside of Israel and outside of Israel, face today. Not the legal problem of how to define who is a Jew in relation to a law of return or in relation to marriage or divorce, but how to be Jews in relation to their great historic destiny. And the Maccabees have told us how to be such loyal Jews. To dare to stand alone, to be prepared to make sacrifices, not to be afraid because we are few in number, but to move forward with the help of God, to preserve the integrity of our spiritual heritage and to transmit it to the world. This is the meaning of Hanukkah. Amen.